The story is told about a woman who was experiencing severe pains every day. And she made an appointment with her doctor to get diagnosed. And she was real concerned that she was experiencing some sort of horrible life condition. The doctor examined her and said, "Ma'am, I have good news for you. You're pregnant." So, I've got good news for you today. According to the scriptures, the earth is in birth pangs, and we are pregnant with God's purposes. Now, the world has taken our current situation and suggested that we have global warming going on. I remember early on in our marriage, I was cuddling up to my wife, and she exclaimed, "Get away from me!" And I went, "Val, what's wrong?" She says, "I'm burning up." And I said, "Well, why are you burning up?" She says, "Well, I have two heaters going right now, mine and the baby's." And so you may look at the world today and feel as though everything's out of control. And you can believe what the secularists and the globalists are saying, that this is global warming. I would like to suggest that we are experiencing exactly what Jesus and the Apostle Paul called birth pangs. We are told by Jesus that in the last days, there will be traumatic, tumultuous events. There'll be earthquakes, there'll be fires, there'll be tsunamis, the raging of the wind and the sea. There'll be wars, there'll be rumors of wars. And he said in Matthew 24, these are the beginning of birth pangs. Now we know that we've been seeing these things for a while. And when the birth pangs get longer and stronger and closer, we know that the time of the birth is near. Paul has a wonderful explanation for this in Romans chapter 8. He says, "For I understand that the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation is anticipating and awaiting the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God." So think of the earth as a womb, gestating God's children. Now, we know that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So this is a time of great harvest. This is a time of great turning to the Lord. Around the world, people are experiencing these pangs of birth. And biblically, we know exactly what's going on. Now, I know a lot of women, when they give birth to a baby, it's a painful experience. But Jesus said, the mother that gives birth to a baby is in pain until the child is revealed. And once the child is revealed, she forgets about the pain of childbirth. And folks, it doesn't matter how bad and how horrible and how, because we are on an approach to the birthing of God's people from this planet. So I would encourage you to take another perspective on what's taking place in the world today. Paul goes on to say, "I understand that the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectations," Romans 8, "is that the glorious liberty of the children of God." And so that is what we're anticipating. That is what we're looking for. And so I encourage you to put in a different overlay on current events and get excited about the birth of God's people on planet Earth. Now, we know that the placenta is thrown away. It's discarded. This present earth, we understand, is simply a placenta. It's for the nurturing of the sons and daughters of God. And so trying to preserve the placenta, what madness is that? The womb is the place where sons and daughters of God are birthed. Now, how do we prepare for this? Well, we know that every woman, as she faces birth pangs, is instructed by their doctor to be sober. In fact, there's little warnings on alcohol that says, warning, the Surgeon General has decreed that drinking alcohol can cause birth defects in pregnant women. And so I would suggest during this time of pregnancy that we be sober, that we be alert, that we watch and pray lest we enter into temptation, that we work, for the night is coming when no man can work, that we wait expectantly in anticipation of the groom that's coming for his bride, which is the children of God, together with him. Now, staying sober, staying alert, being watchful, waiting, and working is what we need to be about. This is not a time for anxiety. Women can complicate their birth by being anxious, by being stressed out, by being frustrated. Now is a time for us to be focused on what God has promised us in giving us the new birth and the new heavens and the new earth. So I encourage you to cherish this time. Think of this time as an opportunity to be about what the Lord has called you to do and called you to be. This is pause. This is a focused, dedicated time to anticipate the birth and of the children of God. One of the things that the Lord commands us to do is to repent. Now, repentance is simply a Bible word for turning, turn around, to go in the opposite direction. The Greek word is metanoia, which means to change your mind. And Paul helps us with this picture of turning around. He says, you put off the old and you put off the new. My good friend John Graziano from Freedom River Outreach in Tacoma has helped us understand this concept, where it's not just enough to stop drinking. That just makes you a dry drunk. What we really want to do is we want to replace the old with the new. So we put off the old clothes, we put on the new garments, the garments of salvation. For he hath clothed me with the robe of righteousness, he hath covered me with the garments of salvation. And so Paul instructs us in Ephesians 4 and 5. He says, therefore, let him who steals steal no more, but, that's a put off, let him labor with his hands that he might have to give to those in need. In another place, he says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but, that's the put off, put on only speech and communication which is edifying for the listener. In chapter 5, we're all familiar with, don't get drunk with wine. The word for drunk is meth. Don't get methed up. That's the put off. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So as we come to this time of anticipating the Lord's return, we're going to put off the old, we're going to put on the new, we're going to repent. Jesus' message to the churches in Revelation, in 5 of those letters, he says, repent. And in one letter, he says, you better repent or I will remove your lampstand out of its place. Isn't it interesting that today the churches and the synagogues are closed? Do you suppose the Lord's trying to get our attention? We are definitely in an approach to the kingdom of God. And I want to share a song with you. Everybody is talking about 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that's repentance, then I will come and I will heal their land. I will forgive their sins. Now, we want to see the salmon come back. We want the abalone to come back. We want the kelp to come back. We want the red uni sea urchins to come back. But it's not going to happen. The rain's not going to come. We're actually approaching what scientists are calling a mega drought, the worst drought in 1,000 years in the western states. We've seen 5 fire seasons destroy close to 35,000 structures. Is that not God's trying to get us our attention? Because the previous verse to 2 Chronicles 7:14 is verse 13, where the Lord says, as they're dedicating the temple in Jerusalem, Solomon's temple, he says, if I withhold the rain, if I send a pestilence in the land, then, verse 14, if my people call by my name shall humble themselves and pray. So we're going to sing this song now as a part of our worship. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Join me by singing along. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. That's our prayer. I'm excited. We are pregnant with God's purposes. Let's not mistake this current crisis for anything other than God's opportunity to finish the task. Matthew 24:14 says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then the end will come. Folks, we still have 2,000 languages, according to Wycliffe, that have yet to have the scriptures in the mother tongue of those people. Yet Revelations 5:9 and 7:9 says that around the throne, every tribe, every tongue, every nation, and every people will be represented. Also, we need to pray for Israel. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 39, you will not see me again until you quote Psalm 118, Baruch haba Hashem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We're praying that the veil will be lifted off of the Jewish nation and that they will call out to their Messiah, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It says in Revelation 19 that the bride has made herself ready. I remember sitting on the hillside overlooking Chinaman's Hat on Oahu, where many of our films are recorded there, the movie set for Jurassic Park and other amazing, beautiful tropical settings. And we were sitting there, the groom was there, the minister was there, the audience was there, The sun was beating down, the people were sweating, the cake was melting, and what was the problem? The bride was not ready. Folks, it says in Revelation 19 that the bride has made herself ready. In Ephesians 4, we see what the three requirements are: unity, purity, and maturity. Folks, we're not there yet. Jesus' last commandment, and I would say the greatest commandment, quoting Jesus, love one another as I have loved you. And there on the cross, the third cup of redemption, he stretched out his hands and he laid down his life for you and I. I encourage you, this is time to get right with the Lord. This is time to call out to him. This is time to get your house in order. This is time to do works of service, because the night is coming when no one can work. This is time to watch and pray so that you don't enter into temptation. So I'm going to pray for you. And my prayer is the Aaronic blessing in Exodus chapter 6, excuse me, in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Aaron, the high priest under Moses, was instructed to say this: the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to give you peace. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That is my prayer for you. God bless you. Today is the Eastern Orthodox Church Resurrection Sunday. The West did it several weeks ago. The East is doing it today. And our Eastern brothers and sisters have been under the regimes of communism and socialism, under the religious persecution of Islam and Hinduism. And so we need to pray. We need to pray for the Eastern Church that they persevere, because they've been in a time of persecution. So Lord, we lift up our brothers and sisters in the East as they celebrate your resurrection life. We ask you, Lord, to comfort them and encourage them and let them know that the day is coming. So brothers and sisters, God bless you. Thank you for joining me today. And spread the word. We're pregnant. And when the baby comes, we're not going to remember any of these birth pangs. God bless you. Have a great Sunday.